Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 if you're reading along. Now let me just say, because some of you will probably recognize this once I start, that this message, and this probably will be at least two Sundays, maybe more. This message it's been in our newsletter, and it is on the website. And I was going to preach about this some time ago, but other things happened and I just didn't. But I think I remember mentioning to you a few weeks ago that I was talking to a person, and he wanted to know, well, what do you believe? You know, what kind of denomination are you? And there's all kinds of different ways. And even after I talked to him, I thought then, just like I usually do, David, I thought, well, I wish I'd have said something a little different, but be that as it may, I told him, I said, well, as far as the denomination, I said, do you know anything about the Primitive Baptists? He said, yeah, I've heard of them and a little bit about them. I said, well, that kind of describes, you know, where I stand on certain doctrines. He said, oh, y'all don't believe in music. And that was his answer. I mean, and his response was actually inappropriate, because it's not that the primitives, or at least some of them, don't believe in music. They don't believe in having accompanying instruments with the music. And then others don't believe in having even notes in the song books, and so forth and so on. It's not a matter of you don't believe in music, but I knew what he was saying. But what saddened me was that's the first difference, or the first thought that came up in his mind, is I'm one of those people that don't believe in music, or don't believe in musical instruments. And I didn't say nothing to him, because I just did not feel it was the appropriate time. But I thought, if that's the only knowledge you have, if that's the only difference you see, and you really don't know much of anything. Now, just in light of that, in Ephesians chapter 5, there's just one verse I want to read. It's verse 19. The Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what I want to try to talk about for the next couple weeks at least is singing by the church. I will express this two or three times probably, but let me say again, singing by the church. This is not, as some people think or have taught, still teach, this is how you're to sing while you're at church. It's not what it is. This is not singing in the church. This is instruction given to the church. Sir. And it is instruction that we could properly entitle, singing by the church. Amen. Now, as a little background, and I think most everyone here knows this, but just as a reminder, the Ephesian epistle is Paul's main letter concerning the doctrine of the church.
Yes, sir.
In the Ephesian epistle, the Apostle Paul clearly, in several words in chapter 2, describes the church as a whole, complete new entity from that which had existed before. The church is declared to be, and Paul gives the doctrine of it, one new man.
Amen.
And as you begin to read, you find he is giving the church instruction.
Yes, sir.
And it's instruction how we're to walk, how we're to think, how we're to fight, you know, the battle, how we're to believe.
Yes.
It's instruction in doctrine. He begins with instruction in the glorious doctrine of the everlasting purpose of God, in election and all of these things. So again, let's remember here, this epistle, this letter, is the main letter concerning the doctrine of the church. And because it is that, and the Apostle Paul being inspired, remember, he was inspired when he wrote this. God moved him to write down that which God deemed necessary for us to know.
Yeah.
Paul, the Apostle Paul, being inspired, he details different parts of our practice.
Yeah.
Different parts of the way concerning we're to conduct ourselves as the church. This is God-breathed instruction to the church.
Yes, sir.
It comes through the Apostle Paul, but it's God-breathed instruction. Now, because it's God-breathed instruction, every one of us here this morning who professes faith and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ would do well to give great diligence and pay attention to the details of this book.
Yes, sir. That's it.
It's not here as some kind of rules to keep us in check.
No.
I mean, it's not, and that's the way, sadly, many so-called believers, professed believers, they view the Scripture as some kind of list of rules and laws, even New Testament.
Yeah.
But these are our privileges.
Yes, sir.
They're privileges. Now, yes, we're warned against some things. We're told some things are very dangerous to our souls, detrimental to our souls and our physical well-being. And to a degree, even our spiritual well-being in this life. But we're also encouraged in those things which are a joy to engage in. I'll just stop. I'll make this statement and then just leave that where it is. If you don't enjoy obeying this book, you don't know God.
Yeah. It's true.
If you got a problem with obeying this book, you got a problem with God.
Exactly.
I'll just leave that where it is. Because this book is not here trying to get us to do what we ought to do. It's clear, inspired instruction as to what God Almighty will work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
This was what we will enjoy doing if we're believers.
Yes, sir.
Now we have clear testimony here by Paul's exhortation that as believers in Christ, we're to sing praises to Christ our head and Savior. Now let's look at verse 23. And look, it's in the context. You see, let me go back. Verse 19, he exhorts us to do what? Sing.
Yes, sir.
Right? To sing. And then sing how? Verse 20, giving thanks. And not only giving thanks, but how? Verse 21, submitting. Right? And as we submit one to the other, also there is to be submission in the household between spouse, husband, and wife. And then he says what? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. When we sing to the Lord, we're not just singing to this some general accepted fact that there is a God in heaven. We just sing to God. We're to sing to the, as it says, what, verse 19? Making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And this Lord is manifested to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's kind of amazing as I began to study over this, read over it, if you'll turn, and I'm not going to turn there right now, but if you turn to Colossians chapter 3 and chapter 4, you will find great similarities between Colossians 3 and 4 and Ephesians 5 and 6. And each one has this verse with an admonition, an exhortation rather, I should say, not an admonition, but an exhortation to sing. Now this is kind of amazing when you realize this does not happen much in Scripture. There are only two other instances in Scripture that I know of. Now, if there are others, you tell me, and I'll let it be known that there are a few others. But the only two that I, as I pored over this, as I thought about it, as I checked references, the only places I can find something even similar to this is, first of all, what men call the Synoptic Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in some instances, they're not only talking about the same thing, they give the same thing word for word. But yet this is something a little different, because these are three different men moved by the same Spirit of God to talk about the same subject. So you have to kind of find this repetition, right? But one thing about it, if it's repeated like that, since it's done that way, since we have these three different men being moved to write in many instances about the very same things, that evidently means it's awfully important.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if God mentions it once, that's good enough.
Yeah.
But if God reminds us of it more than once, mm-hmm. it'll take special heed to it.
Yes, sir.
The only other instance I know of this is in the Kings and the Chronicles, where they and their historical details repeat one another in many things. And the same thing applies there. But here we have one man speaking to two different local assemblies. And he is moved by the same God, the one God, to give both of these assemblies instruction. And amongst all this instruction they're given, one of them is about what? Singing. Now there's a lot of disagreement about singing. And it's sad, because it really ought not be.
Yeah. You're right.
A lot of disagreement about it. We've already mentioned a couple things, but it's serious. Here, you got some people believe you could have a piano and an organ, but you ought not have not much else. You got some people believe you don't even have any kind of musical instruments. You got some people believe you don't even have notes in your songbooks.
Yeah.
You got other people that believe you should use guitars, electric guitars and drums, but you know, others, you don't use this, you don't use that. Other people go out, you have full-blown orchestras.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All kinds of disagreement. Someone says you don't go far enough, another one says, you know, you go way too far.
Yeah.
Generally, this is complicated, because everybody wants to have their opinion as to what is right and what is wrong. Everybody wants to add their little say-so into God's say-so, and our say-so don't mean squat.
Exactly.
We take what thus saith the Lord to the extent thus saith the Lord, and no further and no less.
Exactly.
Somebody says, well, what's wrong? If God doesn't say it's wrong to use it, why don't we use it? Because it's going beyond what God commanded. Now, and he does say that singing. Now let me just know before I even go into that. Well, I have heard this, and not necessarily on the subject of singing, but on a whole plethora of subjects. I've heard men say, if they hear a message or you talk about a certain singing, or when should you meet? You understand what I'm saying? You talk about these different areas, and they say, well, that's not really important. Preaching Christ is what's important. What sounds good and noble, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm? Now let me say, if you, preaching Christ is paramount.
Yes, sir.
It is paramount. But preaching Christ, and let me step back a minute, but you can preach the 5 points, every blessed message you preach, and still you may not be preaching Christ.
That's true.
You know, you may be just preaching the 5 points.
Yeah.
I don't care whether we talk about 1 point, 2 points, 3, 4, 5 points, singing, whether we're talking about church attendance, whether we're talking about witnessing for Christ, giving testimony to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of these things, Christ must be central.
Yes, sir.
Or we're not preaching Christ. But you cannot say, I preach Christ, but other things that Christ told us, His Word, that's not really important. There was a passage that came, and for a while, when I first began to see the truth, Mason, there were certain things that really mattered to me, and that's what I was studying, trying to learn, trying to know, and other things, I just kind of said, well, I don't want to deal with that right now. I've got to get a handle on this thing. And that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But to kind of flippantly act as though, well, I don't talk about that because that's not really important. Well, listen. If it's not important, God wouldn't have put it in His book.
Exactly.
The Apostle Paul, same one, who wrote what I've just read, the text I've read, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration and is what?
Profitable.
We'll just stop. If it's profitable, okay.
Amen.
Okay, the subject needs to be talked about.
Yes, sir.
Right? It needs to be talked about. You see, I don't want us to become too conceited. Well, we preach Christ. I hope to God we do.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I hope to God we do. But I hope we're not hung up on just a handful of doctrines either.
Yeah,
I hope we're not just hung up on a handful of doctrines. As I began to say, singing is not some sort of local assembly putty used to patch in the holes. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, our singing is not something we do just to fill in the time between when we pray and have our different messages. All right, so there's a good way to move from one message to the other. Let's have a song in between. That just kind of fills the time in good, don't it, Jack? Why are we singing? Why did we sing this morning? Because God Almighty, 2,000 years ago, through the Apostle Paul, gave the local assembly instructions. You do what when you gather together? Sing.
Yes, sir.
But I got more to say about that as well. It's not something we just use to fill in the time. We are commanded in the direct context of our conduct. And you look at this. This tells us how to walk, right? Some things not to do and other things we are to do, right? It's here. And in the direct context of our conduct, it includes singing. And it actually begins with singing as a way of actively redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Yes, sir.
Right? Redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Wherefore, don't be drunk, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk, because that's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Notice it doesn't say, and speaking, right? You see, this is a flowing context here. Paul's not saying, okay, I'll talk about this doctrine, period. Done with that. Whoever, talk about this doctrine, I'm done with it, period. This is a whole thing that is all connected together.
Yes, sir.
Our singing is not a waste of time. Right? Singing is that time when the assembled saints join together in one voice to openly praise our Lord and to become a witness against the enemies of God by praising Christ while the world sings their own praises and engages in their own sinful lusts. While they're singing, we, me, we sing Him. We sing Him.
That's it.
While the world is caught up with fulfilling the animal, and that's what it's a fallen thing. It's not the true human original state. The true human original state was good.
Yeah.
We fell from that.
Exactly.
And while the world is consuming this animalistic lust within themselves, singing the praises of themselves and earthly pleasures and wonders, we're to sing about our Lord Jesus Christ and our journey in this world as strangers and pilgrims.
Yes, sir.
Verses 11 through 13 make that quite clear, right? We are to what? Expose the darkness.
Yes.
And one way of doing that is singing together. Mm-hmm. It's not the only way, but it is one of the ways. Now, while this is certainly true of the assembled assembly, okay? While we're certainly to do this while we're assembled, the question has to be asked, is this instruction simply for the assembly when we're gathered together? Now, let me begin by first of all saying, he doesn't say, now, when you're gathered together, you speak to yourselves and so on, does he? Huh? No, he's using this singing and praising God as something given right in the context with husbands and wives.
Yes, sir.
Right? The way they're to conduct themselves in their everyday life, whether assembled together with the assembly or not.
That's right.
Husbands and wives, fathers and children, Servants and masters, it's all connected. This is not just when we publicly gather together, but even in our private everyday lives as well.
Yes, sir.
So again, I say, singing is not what we do in the church. This is singing by the church.
Yes, sir.
It's not just for the assembled assembly. It's not just when we're gathered together. It's not just in our private worship. This is something that I don't know how to put it in words as I wish I could, but it's what irritates me about some groups that say, well, you can't have a stringed instrument. You can't have a piano, a guitar, anything. You can't even have a stringed instrument. No musical instruments whatsoever. Right? When you sing praises, you can't have one. What do they do when they go home, though? They get out the banjo and the guitar.
Exactly.
Right? And let me tell you, what's good at home is good for the assembly when it comes to the everyday worship and praise of Christ.
That's right.
You see, this is not, okay, when you're in the assembly, when you're assembled together, you got to do it this way. Though this is the way you're to do it, period.
Amen.
No matter where you are, when you are, how you are.
Exactly.
It includes both. That's when we're assembled, when we're not assembled. And let me just add, if that weren't true, then we're actually not supposed to sing when we're not assembled. Because we're never told anywhere otherwise to do that, right? There are two places in the New Testament we are commanded, given exhortation to sing. Colossians and Ephesians. And both of them are to the church, but it's what the church is to do, period. Privately or publicly. Now the context demands that these instructions, this is what governs our lives. And that's a larger point I want to make this morning. This is not just how we're not just to put on an air. I'm this way. I do that when I go to church.
Yeah.
Or a more scriptural statement, because actually we can't go to church. I still use that and then I kick myself after I've said it. This is not just how we conduct ourselves when we're assembled together. This is the instruction we're to be mindful of every moment of every day of our lives. It's sad, but this is the way a lot of people worship God. They do what God says when they're at church.
Yeah.
But after all, see, I'm not at church anymore. It's kind of like being at work. I do what they tell me to do when I'm at work, but when I go home, work don't tell me what to do. All right, we're put up, we're in that society, right? When I go home, work don't tell me what to do. But let me tell you, God tells us what to do.
Yes,
whether at work, whether it at home, whether we're assembled or whether we're not assembled.
Yes,
whether we're with or by ourselves, or whether we're with one or two or three are gathered together.
Yes, sir.
This is not. Now, yes, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy says this is the way you're to conduct yourself in the church of God. He's talking about when you're gathered together.
Yes, sir.
This is instruction overall to how we're to conduct ourselves at all times. If you're going to sing, sing this way.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to submit, submit this way. If you're going to obey, obey this way. If you're going to be subservient this way. Whenever, at all times. Take note of the instruction. Look at it in the direct context. We've got instruction to husbands and wives, chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. Instructions of parents to children, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Instructions of servants to masters, chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Same thing goes to Colossians. It may not be in exact order, but all those things are mentioned. Husbands and wives, parents and children, servants and masters, singing. It's all right there.
Yes, sir.
It's all right there. All of this instruction is given to us, whether assembled together or otherwise.
Exactly.
Therefore, this kind, you heard that, use that word, remember that word. This kind of singing is not to be done solely in the church. This kind of singing is to be done by the church.
Yes, sir.
As ordained by God. So the first question, when are we to do these things? All of them, not just one. When are we to do these things? Let me go even further. When are we to believe that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world? All the time.
Yes, sir.
That's not something we're to say, I agree with that when you're gathered together with a bunch of other people that agree with that, and then get out on your own and say, well, I don't know. I think I better just go with the flow. And there are folks that are like that, and I wish they would just stay with the flow.
Yeah.
Instead of coming aggravating us half to death, you know, for a while. Just stay where they are. Whatever flow you enjoy best, get there. Get in it. Jump in your rowboat and go to town. Right? I've answered the question. This is instruction for us at all times. But, here's another question. How are we instructed to sing? First, there is the manner of our singing. Second, there is the direction of our singing. That's both given right here in this context. The second one, that is the direction of our singing, is twofold. The manner of our singing is singular, but the direction of our singing is twofold. First of all, the manner of our singing is said to be this: speaking. You see that? That's the manner of our singing. Speaking. Now that's, you know, you think you read that and it just, if you're not careful, it just kind of rolls off your back, you know, rolls off your heart and mind like duck water off a duck's back. Just speaking. Why didn't he just say singing? Because a lot of people sing, they don't speak.
Yeah.
That's why. Some people wail.
Yeah.
Right? You can sing and just wail, where nobody understands what you're saying. If y'all ever listen to something on TV or radio, people begin to sing, all you hear is wah-nah! And a few changes in tune every once in a while, right? You think, what are they saying?
Exactly. That's it.
You know?
That's exactly it.
That may be funny, folks, but this is a command to say, when you sing, you say something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Don't just wail. You remember 1 Corinthians? Tinkling brass. A sounding cymbal, is that it? Or sounding cymbal, tinkling brass one way or the other. You know, if it gives forth an uncertain sound, how are you going to know what's going on?
Exactly.
That's the whole problem. Most people don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
They don't even know what they're singing about. They're just wailing.
Yeah.
There's words there, but for them it's more about making a noise.
Yeah.
And they love that passage, make a joyful noise. It'd be all right if it was joyful, but it ain't joyful.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like a calf bawling for milk. You know? No, the manner is to be speaking.
Yes.
Now, let me show the importance of this. And I think you see it there. You're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I think you see it as the context of it. You see, this speaking is evidently important.
Yes, sir.
But here's why. The Greek word is something like laleo, something like that. And it means to commune in words the substance of something uttered. You've got to utter it. You have to make sounds, okay, to get it out there. But it has to be in a way that you're actually communing the words to someone. It is the opposite of wailing. It is speaking. Okay. I mean, I've listened to, I don't care if you get upset with me or not. I really don't care. I'm past that. Well, I ain't going to say I'm past that stage, but right now I ain't worried about it. I've listened to some music, especially rock and roll, and it's supposed to have words in it, and I don't know the words to the songs yet. You know, I'm serious. And I've heard these songs for years, and I still don't know the words to the songs. The only way I would have known is, the only way I possibly did know, Joe, is if it, you bought a record or a CD and it had the words to the songs listed on it somewhere.
Yep.
Oh, that's what they're saying.
Yep.
Huh?
Exactly.
But here's the important, it is to be the words. You see it? The manner is, the words are vital. This communing of words as we utter them is vital. Seeing is not for the sound.
Yeah.
It's for the truth.
Yes.
Look at what our Lord, give me an instance of this. John chapter 12, it's verse 49. Our Lord says these words, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment." Okay, what I should say and what I should speak.
Amen.
Okay, so think of it. Here is a foundation. There's certain things that are fact. They're true.
Yes, sir.
They're established by God. They're the foundation. Christ was sent to what? Say them and speak them.
Yes, sir.
To commune this commandment in words. That's the manner of our speaking. And I have more to say about that, but let me, especially for time's sake, let me just go on. The manner of our speaking is how, in other words, we are to give as much care to the words we sing as we give to what we hear when a man stands here and preaches to us.
Yes, sir.
It's not so. Now, he preaches, it needs to be by the book, but now when we sing, like, you know, Earl told me one time, he said, "Well, they're taking a little bit of artistic liberty." He was being very nice to him,
yeah.
If you know what I mean. They're taking a little artistic liberty. Well, see, God don't allow us artistic liberty.
No, sir.
The truth is the truth. We're to sing the truth.
Yes, sir.
Right? And not say, well, when we sing, though, we just see, well, it's a pep-me-up, and it don't really matter. Huh? Uh-uh. Our singing is to be no less truthful than our preaching or our witnessing or our life, for that matter. That's the manner of our singing. But there is a direction to our singing. It's to be to each other and to the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That's the twofold direction. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. To yourselves. And what? Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, just a couple minutes. Let me try to go get through this part right here. It says we are to, as it says in the King James Version, speaking to yourselves. This is important as well.
Yeah.
Some have rendered it this way, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Speaking to each other. There's a couple things in the Greek that kind of points this out. Maybe probably far more so than what it does in the English, but yet in the English context you can get. It's speaking to ourselves, not to the world. Speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another, speaking to each other.
Yes, sir.
So much of so-called gospel singing,
yeah.
You know, singing to the Lord is directed how? To the church, to each other? No, they got it on TV, making money, selling records and CDs, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's not singing to yourselves, that's singing for a prophet.
Exactly.
Right? Come on, let's be honest. Somebody, well, how would a Christian, another Christian know they got this stuff? If it ain't get on, you don't want it anyway. I've heard it.
Exactly.
It's trash.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I'm serious. I've watched some of them. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm listening to a rock band.
Yeah.
You know? If I want to listen to rock, I'll listen to rock. If I want to hear a song that praises Christ, I want to hear a song that praises Christ.
Amen.
And there is a difference. There is a difference. We're speaking this word to yourselves, translated yourselves, that were, or as simply each other. It's a two word, but it's still the same thing. It has the sense of communal.
Yes.
Okay? In other words, I'm not to sing for myself. Right? I'm not to sing for me. If I'm by myself, when I sing, I best be singing to the Lord. Right? And when we're here singing, we're not just singing to each other. It's a twofold direction. It best also be what else? To the Lord. If all we're doing is singing to each other, we're entertaining one another.
Yeah.
And the whole point is here in this Greek word, it's kind of this communal spirit. of joining together in fellowship in a common bond, a common experience, and a common belief, and a common faith. It is not entertainment. It's not entertainment. That's why you have so much of this so-called special singing. They're not singing to one another, they're singing for one another. It says, and the whole thing is if you're gathered together, you don't say, all right, we're going to have so-and-so sing for us. I've heard him say that. Now, you could just change the word and say, well, he's going to sing to us, but really, what's he doing? He's singing for us. He's going to give us a couple minutes of good entertainment. He's going to get out the old banjo, and I like the banjo. And there ain't nothing wrong with the banjo. There ain't nothing sinful about the banjo and its sound. But what are they doing when they get that thing out, start twanging on it? You usually hear the banjo more than you do the words.
Yeah.
Usually. I'm not saying always. But isn't that a fact, David? Usually. Yeah. Same thing to be said for the pianos and the organs. You see, it's not a... Here, there is... And we'll, God will look at this later. There is no prohibition to an instrument. No. Here. It is not here. It is not in the Scripture. It's just not there.
Exactly.
We could look at history and find people who prohibited instruments, and they had reasons for prohibiting them. But that's between them and God.
Oh, yeah.
We as a local assembly don't say, well, they did it that way, so we got to do it that way. No, if we want to do it that way as an assembly, we may have that liberty to do it that way. But we cannot say God commands us to do it that way if it's not said so here.
Exactly.
Right? If God said, if God meant no instruments in the assembly, he would have wrote down in some fashion where it could be translated into English, no instruments in the assembly.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But if we're commanded we have to use the instrument, it would have said that as well, too, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
It don't say neither.
That's right.
You know? This is about a little bit of common sense in light of the Word of God. Now, if somebody's singing to us and we realize this has become entertainment, it's time to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Right? You have a quartet sing, and it's fine. I mean, there is no prohibition that only two or three people or the whole group must sing at one time. But the whole point is, once it becomes entertainment, then it's time to put a stop to it.
Exactly.
Once it gets out of hand, it's actually... It's kind of bad. It's got out of hand, but the problem is nowadays we're in that place. Well, we done went this far. We might as well just forget about it. You see, it don't matter how far you stumble into sin. There's never a time just to forget about it.
Exactly.
Just to say, well, it's too late now. It's never too late to do what God says.
Amen.
Right? I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how sinful you've been. It's never too late to do what's right.
Exactly.
But anyway, I kind of got off kilter a little, but. Remember, it is the manner of our singing, and there's the direction of our singing. In other words, we are to sing in a manner in which what we say actually conveys the actual truth we're trying to verbally express, so that everyone who is hearing these words actually can understand the words and have some idea what we're talking about.
That's it.
It's not for entertainment. It's not for an emotional charge. Some singing may not give you an emotional charge. Sometimes we sing about the rougher times of life. Somebody said, but it all is in this idea. And that's what you see in modern day so-called gospel music. It's all, shake them hammer, hell yeah. Let me tell you, it says to sing psalms.
Yeah.
Right? It means that. Sing the psalms.
Yes, sir.
Now you go read some of them psalms. Some of them are pretty low. Mason and I talked about that lowness the other week, but I'm not going to mention some of that. How low God's people can go, right?
Oh, yeah.
God's people of the old time, they sang those songs. We're supposed to sing them too.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because the fact is, you've been around as a believer for very long, you can relate to them.
That's right.
You can relate to them.
That's it.
And I know this is a common day phrase. It's not all mountaintop.
Yeah.
There's a lot of valleys. But it's not all valley either. there are some mountaintops. No, singing's not for entertainment. It's not for an emotional charge. And sadly, that's what's evidenced almost everywhere today. Singing is to be done for actual teaching, actual instruction and admonishment. Look at it, Colossians 3, verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another. That's what we're to be doing while we're singing.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, I don't teach. Walter does. Joe does. Or Earl did. No, we all are to teach one another when we sing.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says. And I'm not even going to turn to chapter 3, verse, but Lurie, you read it for yourself. It's to be done where we're actually teaching one another and admonishing. That's to admonish means to impart some positive spiritual truth. This must be done if it's done in the proper direction. It's to be done to the Lord. In other words, we benefit each other in our singing only when we sing the actual truth of Christ and honor Him. It's got to be truth.
Yes, sir.
We're not allowed to fudge in our singing. You know, it's okay there. It's sing the truth. I know there's probably some. I don't know of anyone here right now, but I'm sure there's some that come along and got pretty angry when David's got up here and said, no, we're not going to sing that song. Or this song or that song. There are certain songs that we won't sing out of this book. Why? Because they're not telling the truth. Now, does that mean we're perfect? That we've always? No. But Mason, that doesn't mean we give up. Doesn't mean we let our guard down. Doesn't mean we don't care. We're to care as much about the songs we sing as God is my witness, as I care about what I say when I stand here, or Joe, or anybody else does.
Yes, sir.
It's to be singing the actual truth, and it's to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take note of those similarities between Colossians and Ephesians, you find out this is evidently pretty important.
Yes, sir.
Right? I know, you know, some people, they just, I don't know how to put this. They come here. And I think part of the problem, I know there's human depravity and all that, I understand that. But a part of this problem is also indoctrination, familiarity. You know, someone comes here and all we do, as far as the what we call people would call a formal service, is we sing, we pray, and we have the declaration, the preaching and teaching of the word, right? That's the reason is that's all the Bible tells us to do.
Exactly.
You know, that's all it tells us to do. That's why, and people say, well, that's kind of boring. They don't have any fun. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, if the truth ain't fun enough for you, you might as well go somewhere else. If the truth in prayer and the truth in song and the truth in preaching ain't good enough, go somewhere, go fishing. Go hunting, do something. You better enjoy all this life you can, because in the next you're a goner. But the reason people is so boring, they've been taught, I got to have something else.
Yeah,
got to have our special classes. Got to have our special entertainment. You know? I mean, I've heard the one guy, he gets on my nerves. The only reason I turn him on is because Bradley Jr. comes on after him. And if I'm busy brushing my teeth or shaving, I don't want to have to go over and turn the radio. I want it on, so when Bradley comes on, I can start to listen to him. And every time he says, we have a full schedule of services.
Yeah.
Now that lets me know if you're not doing at least what they do, you ain't doing enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't say, here's our full schedule of services. He said, we have a full schedule. And we have Sunday school for every age. And I bet you he's lying like a dog. He's got Sunday school for different ages.
Yeah.
I bet you they don't have one for every age. But of course, I'm being picky now, ain't I? Huh? And we have people who will teach you the truth of God's word. I've heard him preach. If they're saying what he's saying, they're not.
Exactly.
Huh? And they have a choir. Huh? Well, you go right on ahead.
Yeah.
And if you think meeting on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday makes you better in God's sight than me or my brothers and sisters here, bless God, they can go right ahead. But our acceptance is of God in Christ.
Amen.
And because that is true, and we have such gratitude and gratefulness to God for that, we want to do what God says, as He says, no more, no less.
Exactly.
Father, I pray that You encourage us in Thy truth, strengthen us in our fellowship in Christ. It's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen.